Welcome to Inspired by Purpose. Each week, we roll out episodes of successful, purpose-inspired entrepreneurs to inspire and empower you. My name is Dr. Ozzy Jankovic, and I believe that purpose is what inspires us to make our greatest impact. I'm so grateful that you're here. Now let's get started. Hey there, and welcome to today's show. We are talking about something incredibly important today, and I'm going to start doing more of these episodes on topics that are really important that you can action right away, and I'm going to do them in these mini-sodes. So today is mini-sode number one, and it's all about how to expand your influence. What I want to say about influence is that it can happen in your home. It can happen for yourself, for your self-care. It can happen in a big way globally. If you want to have a global influence, it can happen in the workplace. It can happen in your business. Influence is infinite in the ways that it can be applied. So I'm going to go over research-based methods for how to expand your influence. I'm going to break them down into bite-sized, easy-to-implement steps so that you will walk away from this episode able to expand your influence easily and right away. I'm going to give you tangible tips and tools to action every single thing that I talk about in this episode right here on the episode. And I'm also going to be sending it out in an email later today, along with the winners of the $1,500 giveaway. So here's what you can do to receive that email. You can visit drozzy.co/in and sign up for the email. And if you want to take advantage of the very last day to enter the big giveaway, visit drozzy.co/giveaway. All right, on with the episode. Last night, I had the most powerful dream. And in my dream, I saw a woman who I admire, and she was standing up and she was ringing a bell, calling women to come together for an event. And I think it was a dinner event. It was very welcoming, very friendly, and there was also something very powerful about this woman, the way she was standing. And yet it was done in a very gentle and firm way. The way she was ringing this bell, it was a beautiful sound. There was nothing scary or threatening about it. It was this really warm way of exuding power. So I went up to this woman at the dinner and I gave her a hug. And what I said to her in this dream was, "Thank you so much for showing me that it is safe to be powerful." I woke up this morning and I was so inspired by the dream. And I realized that for much of my life, I was afraid to look powerful. I had learned from a very young age that exuding power was not safe. Now, I want you to think as I'm telling you this story, if you have adopted certain messages similar to this, because what we know from research is that most women are afraid to look powerful because they don't want to be, excuse my French, bitchy. They don't want to isolate people, because if they isolate people, they're out of the pack and they're alone. And that is the worst fear that humans have. So my story is two part. The first part happened as a young child. I was in sixth grade. I was running for class president. And at the time, there were several people in my class running for class president, including the cool girls who were not that nice. And looking back, I think that they were not so nice because I was somehow threatening to them. I was really good in school and I spoke my mind and I was strong and I threatened the boys and all of that good stuff. But I think that was put to an end during the presidential race. And what happened was, instead of campaigning in my class, I realized there were so many people in sixth grade running. They were campaigning in the class with all the sixth graders at recess. But what I realized was that the fourth graders were also voting. So I went over to the fourth graders on my own and I gave them all the stickers and all the cool swag from my campaign and got to know them. And I started asking them, what problems do you have in this school? What solutions do you want to see in this school? And how can I help you? And I won the election. I won the election because I went out and I campaigned with the little guys and I looked after them and I realized that I could be more influential by reaching out to people who were not being heard. So anyway, these other people who were running for president, I'm convinced they started hating me as soon as I was elected. And they hated me because I outsmarted them. And I also acted from a place of genuine care for the little guy, the guy who was not being heard. And they didn't like that. So I learned that year that I would be isolated if I was powerful. I would be isolated if I was exerting my influence and being strategic. So I learned to quiet down a little bit. And this also came up later in life in the workplace. So I want you to think about how something might have happened to you in childhood. Maybe you threatened someone or someone got upset with you for speaking your mind or looking too powerful, looking too influential. Did that happen to you? I want you to take a note. Now, later in life, the story is that I was working in a school in Los Angeles as an education specialist. And I was working with students who had a difficult time in the regular classroom. And I was super vocal about my beliefs. And I said, listen, even though these students who are not making it in the regular classroom are hiring me privately and paying me very good money to teach them outside of the classroom, I believe that schools should figure out a way to include everybody. And I was super vocal about it. And I had zero self-interest. I was literally saying out loud, please eliminate my position because these students need to be included and there are ways for teachers to do it. But no, that's not what was happening in the school at that time. And in the school, there was a woman who was working for the school who was in charge of like including students in the classes. But from where I was sitting, they weren't all being included. And I didn't love the things she was saying about my students that they could never catch up, they couldn't be included, they didn't have what it takes, and I saw brilliance in my students. So anyway, I tried to keep things diplomatic with everyone in the school, and every time I went to interact with this woman, I tried to be cordial. So at one point, she learned that I was going back to school to get my doctorate, and she looked at me and point blank, she said to me, Ozzy, you are living my dream. And I said to her, listen, you're only in your 50s. If you're interested in this program, by all means, I'll introduce you to whoever I can. I'll tell you about the scholarship program, this, that, and the other. I was like bending over backwards to try to be helpful to her. And she started bullying me. And it was the strangest thing. So at one point, she actually came into my room. It was recess time, and I was helping some of my students who wanted extra help at recess time. And she came into my classroom and she yelled at me that the students weren't at recess. And I was just floored. And I was so threatened and I was so hurt by it. I actually packed up my office that day and I left the school. And it was a hard time for me. But what I realized was that I couldn't operate in a school like that. I couldn't operate in a place where I was being constantly bullied. And it was so painful. And looking back, I wish I'd stood up for myself. I wish I'd stuck around for my students. And I wish that I hadn't been so afraid of her and of what could happen to me. But it was scary. And I think I learned from that point that I don't want to threaten older women. I don't want to threaten, you know, peace and having these like easy relationships with people. I'll just keep myself small. I'll keep my opinions to myself and nobody will walk all over me and nobody will hurt me and I won't lose anything. But from where I'm sitting today, I'm done with that. I'm done keeping my opinion to myself. I'm done fearing what older women or more powerful women might think of me because guess what? The people who are best for me will find me when I'm the best version of myself. And the people who I don't need in my life can fall by the wayside. And I'm really okay with that. So I want you to consider if at any point in your adult life, you were threatened by someone who was in a position of power. Think about what you did about it, what you were afraid would happen, and how you would want to approach that situation in the ideal way now. So now that you've thought about what you would want to do in situations like that, let's talk about how to be powerful and how to be influential in a way that feels safe. Now, it's going to feel safe because we're going to talk about all of that. And at the same time, it's going to be the full expression of your power. Let's get into it. When I was studying leadership that year, after I left my position in the school, I took a class on leadership. And that's when I started realizing what I could have done and what I wanted to do in the future. So the first thing that I learned in that leadership class was that to be a leader, to have influence, it starts with one person. Now, there's a really cool video of a guy who is dancing at a music festival. Maybe you've seen this on YouTube. Someone referred to it in a TED talk on leadership. Anyway, this guy, he has his shirt off. He's like dancing on a grass hill. And all the people around him are like looking at him like, what is up with this guy? What is he doing? And meanwhile, he is looking around and he makes a gesture to someone else who then comes over and starts dancing with him. So now there's two guys dancing, and all of a sudden people start flocking because it's no longer one weird guy. It's a movement. It's two people together. And essentially what our professor pointed out is that if you want people to believe in your idea, you need to find early adopters, people who are brave enough to believe in something that other people don't believe in. The people who will like your Instagram post, even if nobody else likes it, because they see the genuine good in it. Someone who will come to your event before other people sign up because they know it's a good thing. Those are the people with more leadership capacity because they're not waiting for other people to validate an idea before they do. Guess what? Here's the thing. Most people are not early adopters. 80% of people are not early adopters. 10% of people are leaders, the people who will go out and be that first guy. I think it's even less than 10%, honestly. 10% of people are the early adopters, and everyone else is looking for that social proof and social validation. So if you want to be a leader, find one person to follow you. But how do you do that? Let's talk about how you do that. What are some really practical, tangible, and easy ways to get your following? This is called the Yes Principle, and it's based on the research that people are much more likely to say yes to you than you think. I remember my leadership professor 10 years ago telling us that the most important principle of leadership is to ask for what you want. The worst thing you can hear is no, but if you don't ask, no is absolutely guaranteed. Let's talk about ways that you can ask for what you want in order to expand your influence. Number one is to ask for help. If you're starting a movement, if you're growing your business, if you're starting literally anything, the best thing you can do is recruit help. I remember interviewing an influential woman named Lori Palatnik about how she started her global movement called Momentum. And what she shared with me on the episode was that she called together women who would help her, who she thought would help her, and they went to a retreat together. And she shared her ideas and she asked for their feedback and she ultimately asked for their help in building a movement. Now, flash forward 15 years, she has a global movement. She's affected tens of thousands, if not more, lives. And she made her dream come true by asking people to help her. Number two, ask people to do what you want them to do. Now, this can be as simple as putting a call to action on a social media post. Meaning, you could say something like, tell me what you think in the comment. Tell me which one you like better, A, B, or C, in the comment. Like this post if you appreciate it. Share this post if you want your friends to see it. Okay? Tell people what you want them to do. Don't be afraid to tell people what to do. People want to be told what to do. They want to be given options. They want to be given instructions. Okay? So don't be afraid to tell people what to do. Now, this advice goes in your own life, in your own family, in your own workplace. You are the CEO of your life. So a few weeks ago, my husband was out of town and I was so dreading this vacation he was taking. I was going to be on my own with four kids with a super busy schedule with so many responsibilities. And I was really, really feeling overwhelmed. But something shifted when he left. And I had this moment of realization that, okay, Ozzy, you are the CEO of your family. So you need to start telling people what to do. Now, I think in the past, I was afraid of like upsetting my kids or, you know, burdening them, or I don't even know what, but I started giving them tasks and I started writing down everything they were doing to help me on the refrigerator. And one example is that I gave my son the job of taking out the garbage and I explained to him why his job was super important. And what I said was, okay, your dad takes out the garbage probably every other day and it takes him about 10 minutes start to finish. We have to walk up the street to throw our garbage away here in Israel. So it takes a little extra time. And I said to him, listen, if you're saving your dad 20 to 30 minutes every week, that's 2 hours a month, that's 24 hours a year, and your dad can be doing other things to help the family that you're not able to do. And he was all in. He was all about it. So he started taking out the garbage. And I mean, it went on and on from there. I asked my 18-year-old daughter to take out the 6-year-old after school. And I'm telling you, that week was actually one of the easiest weeks of my life because I recruited help and I invited people to do what I wanted them to do. And I told them why it was so important. And I also told them how it could benefit them. Okay, so that's something else to keep in mind. Now, you can do this in the workplace. You can do this as the CEO of your business. I speak to a lot of people who are afraid to start outsourcing. And I think a lot of that has to do with the fact that they're afraid to tell people exactly what they want them to do. And, you know, I heard from a woman the other day, she has a digital marketing company. And she said, I'm so busy. I'm so overwhelmed. My business is going so great and I need to outsource, but I'm afraid. And she said, I do things a certain way. How am I going to find someone to do things my way? And what I said to her is that you're going to have to train your employees. I said, when you walk into a Trader Joe's store, if you've ever been at Trader Joe's, you know that your cashier is going to be friendly. They're going to have the people skills. And the reason why they have those people skills is that Trader Joe's actually has a training for them where they teach them exactly how to be that friendly, personable person at the checkout. So every single business can do this. You can do this in your business. Once you get super clear on how you do something, you can tell someone else how to do it for you and get it done your way. Now, another piece of expanding your influence has to do with asking for advice. If you want to learn how to do something, do not be afraid to ask someone for advice on how they did it and how they think you might do it. Look for mentors, look for people in your space and ask them for their ideas. Ask them for their opinions and you will be able to receive what you need and expand your influence. The other thing you can do is invite people to work with you. Let's say in your business, you want to influence more people. You want to grow your business by helping more people. Well, that's expanding your influence. So don't be afraid to invite people to work with you. I had a conversation with a high performance coach that works with CEOs and people in high positions of power and leadership a few weeks ago. And what he told me is that most of his business comes from him inviting people to work with him. Now, how cool does it sound and how great does it look? If you're inviting people, it means you realize that what you have to give is super valuable. It's an amazing banquet. It's an amazing experience. It's an amazing party. It's beneficial. It's awesome. Yes, invite people to your party. Look at your business. Look at your movement as a party, as a festival, and invite people to join you. All right, how awesome is all of this? I'm so excited about it. And I want you to consider how you'll do these things. So I'm going to ask you a question. You can write down the answer. And I'm also going to send this to you in an email later on today. So please sign up at drozzy.co/in to get this in an email. Number one, how are you going to ask people to help you? Number two, how are you going to find that first follower? Number three, how are you going to ask people to do what you want them to do? Number four, how will you ask for advice? Number five, how will you invite people to work with you? Alrighty, I hope you enjoyed this, and I want to conclude with an invitation to you to continue learning in order to expand your influence. I meet a lot of older women. Now, by older, I mean older than me. I'm 42. And I don't even look at myself in midlife because, you know, there's an idea in Torah that you can live to be 120. So I'm actually third life right now, one third of my life. And I meet women who are in their 40s, 50s, even 60s, who come to me and they tell me, Ozzy, I don't even know what I want to do anymore. I want to change. I don't know what that looks like. And I'm so old. How am I going to learn how to do this thing? And what I say to them is that you are going to learn how to do this thing. And you're going to do it by asking. Ask Google. Look on Google. Ask for help. Look for help in the form of a course. Look for help in all the different ways that I mentioned in this episode. But don't be afraid to try new things because you can literally do anything. You are never too old to learn, and you're never too old to start being more influential. One of my favorite female leaders in the entire world, her name is Dr. Edith Eva Eger. She's a Holocaust survivor. She's 96. And she is one of the most wise, brilliant, and influential women in the world, and I'll tell you why. She was not afraid to learn, she was not afraid to grow, and she was not afraid to transform or be a leader. When she was in her 40s, she went back to school to get a master's in psychology and become a therapist. And one of her professors said to her, "You know what, Edie, you should get a PhD." And she looked at the doctor, at the professor, and she said, "Me? How am I going to do that? I'll be over 50 by the time I get that degree." And the teacher said to her, "You know what, Edie? You are going to be over 50 either way. So why not go after your dream and get that thing done?" I'm all about that. And I invite you to consider something that you want to do right now in your life, something you want to take on, something you want to learn, something you want to change. You can do it. Okay, I hope you enjoyed this episode. I hope you'll sign up for the emails that are coming out, drozzy.co/in. There's so much good stuff happening on this podcast. I don't even know where to start. These guests that I have lined up are fire. And what I'm hearing from you, my listeners, is incredible. The feedback that we're getting, the questions that we're getting, I'm making these episodes for you based on the conversations that we're having and what you're sharing with me. So keep doing what you're doing. Guys, subscribe to the show, sign up for the emails, and let's stay connected. I believe in you. I want you to fall in love with your life. I want you to have your greatest impact and your greatest influence because your best self will make our best world. I appreciate y'all so much. Wherever you are in the world, abundant blessings, abundant successes, and I will see you next episode.